how are things going for you at your citrus farm right now? You know, I know that citrus greening is something that is a disease that, you know, citrus farmers have been battling for quite some time now. So I'm curious, you know, how are things going at your farm?
You know, we're optimistic that we'll have a good season this year. Hurricane Ian last year, you know, it devastated the industry. The industry will never be back to where it was 20 years ago, pre-citrus greening. You know, there's a lot of scientific work going on and efforts by individual farmers that are trying to figure out a way to cope with greening. You know, we're a small family store. So we've been doing this. I've been picking oranges since I was 5 years old. I'm 65 now, so that tells you how long I've been doing it. And we have a small grove here that we pick, and we've been in the business so long, we have other friends that we pick fruit from, pick citrus from. And yeah, we're hoping for a good year. That's what we're hoping for, is a good year. Looks like, we're almost out of hurricane season. I did see one where a few years ago, there was one October the 15th, but you know, when I was growing up, we worried about hurricanes, and not so much hurricanes. There weren't that many hurricanes, and freezes. And I spent many a night, you know, when a tree truly freezes, Christmas Day in the 85 or 84, somewhere in there, we get up Christmas morning, it's 22 degrees. We lost every tree we owned, and so did many others. And we replanted, and so did everybody else. Now with citrus greening, you have to weigh the end result. And the end result is growing a tree for 5 years, 3 years, before it starts producing citrus, it's going to get greening. It's going to get greening. The question you have to ask yourself is, are you willing to? There are ways, and we do here, where we are able to sustain the tree, to keep them alive. It costs a tremendous amount of money. In the old days when I was growing up, everything all told, including tractor, labor, diesel, spray chemicals, ran you about $600 or $700 an acre per year. Now that same production is anywhere from $2,000 and up, just to keep a 1 acre of citrus trees alive. So, you know, you have to weigh it out.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said that you're optimistic for this season. How did last season go for you? I know you were talking about Hurricane Ian and how that devastated the industry, but how did last season go for you?
Last season went okay. It wasn't a great season. We ran out of citrus early. We had no honeybells. We picked some honeybells. Honeybells, very, very popular. Very popular. Tangelo that is only available in the month of January. And we usually sell a bunch. And last year we didn't sell one. We have a few honeybell trees in our grove, but we need more than a few honeybells. And the friends of ours that we buy from down south, they're gone. They were gone last year. So we didn't have those. This year, looks like there's going to be some honeybells. And we sell a lot of navels. We do a lot of gift fruit shipping, where we put the really nice fruit in fancy baskets, and we ship it all over the country to Aunt Jane and Uncle Paul. And we still do a lot of that. And we were able to do that last year. The season was shorter. Our peak of the season is we just mailed out catalogs last week. They're hitting the mail boxes now. And the peak of our season is December for our gift citrus side. Our retail side runs from November through May. Usually this year we were done in April. Last year we were done in April. So yeah, we hope it turns out better this year.
You said that The citrus industry is never going to be the same as it was 20 years ago. What do you think needs to be done for the citrus industry to get back to where it needs to be?
Number one, you got to have a cure for grainy. That's number one. Number two is you got to have cheap dirt. We get back to what I previously said, where you're looking at a 3 to 5 year time investment before the trees become quote unquote productive. I coined a saying a year or two ago and it stuck with me, and it's the truth of the matter. And Talia, you live here, you know. The truth of the matter is Florida doesn't grow citrus anymore. Florida grows houses. And you've got to have cheap dirt to grow sod, to grow ornamental trees for shrubs for your yard, any of that. You have to have cheap dirt. And there is no more cheap dirt in Florida. I'll go off tangent a little bit with this, but you know, you look at the Claremont area. The Claremont area had the Citrus Tower, and people would drive down on 27 when they're coming down here for vacation and go up in the Citrus Tower, and all you could see is orange groves from one end to the other of the skyline. All you see is houses now. And who is the... We go back to three generations ago. So we're looking at 1900s, maybe a little later than that. And Florida had cheap dirt. And Claremont was cheap dirt. And Orlando, Dr. Phillips, had what was one of the largest orange growers in Central Florida. Guess what's out of Dr. Phillips now? Disney. Dr. Phillips' ancestors ain't gonna grow citrus. They're gonna sell land for the development out there. And that is part of, and I keep using Claremont as an example, but you had the grandfather, the great-grandfather that started it, plowed the fields, grew the trees, got it going. His son took it over, grew the business, it became successful. Now we're into the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. And Ed White's 65 years old, and he can plant more orange trees, or he can sell the land for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 an acre. What's Ed White going to do? He's going to sell the land because he's got 5 years before he knows whether it's coming out or not. He'll be 70. He may be dead. Why do it? Sell the land. And that's a big brass tack right there. Citrus greening is number one. Why are you going to invest time, labor, money for 5 years, not knowing whether those trees are going to live or not? And in addition to that, as we just discussed, land in Florida does not depreciate. It appreciates. And in 5 years, something that was, well, you just can't find cheap dirt unless you go down south. And that, we get back to Ian a little bit. The citrus belt used to go north of Lake County, which is way on up there. They used to grow oranges in Jacksonville in the late 1800s. They grew oranges in Jacksonville. But the citrus belt included Lake County, which is all the way up past Astor. They ain't an orange tree up there now. So because of the freezes that I spoke with that happened in the 80s, we had back-to-back-to-back freezes. So a lot of the citrus production moved down south where the dirt was still cheap. And then Ian came through. And a lot of those groves will never recover. And I don't want to use a number, but I know cattle farmers down there, you know, they lost 1,000 cows, I've heard, or something, you know. And you can't, it's hard to recover from that.
Are you hearing that sentiment amongst like other growers that you're, you know, colleagues with or friends with about, you know, possibly selling land or, you know, having difficulties kind of combating what's going on with citrus greening and the dirt problem? Are you hearing that kind of sentiment amongst other growers, or is it kind of more of
yes.
a
yes? Yes. Yes. That's yes. And yes, that's what you hear. Today in our grove at home, which is just 10 acres, we probably have what you call, they're called skips, and that's where there's not an orange tree. And I would plant this grove full if I knew they were going to live. But people like me, this is all I've ever done. Yeah, I graduated from Stetson. We were in the citrus business. I graduated in 1982, and we were in a big time recession. Interest rates were 18%. Imagine going buying a house with 18% interest rates. There were no jobs. So we bought a little packing house in Orlando, and I worked there forever. About 5-6 years ago, we moved back to Sanford, where we're from, and we're fourth generation Sanford. And converted one of our old tractor barns into our little retail store. We've had to supplement. We do barbecue now. Any Southern boy that's worth his weight in gold knows how to make barbecue. So now we do a lot of catering. I just did catering for the Florida Farm Bureau last week for 100 people.
And you're saying supplement because you can't fill up the grove anymore?
Can't make money growing citrus. That can't be your only, in our case. And in most of those that are family operated citrus groves, not Coca-Cola, but most of all small farms and even family operated farms, they have to supplement now. There's just no way to make a living just growing citrus. Be it growing palm trees, selling barbecue like we do, catering, we do wedding events. Just had one yesterday, a wedding. We've got a real rustic barn, real, you know, nostalgic. And so we do events here now, and that's how we supplement our income. Have to.
How long ago did you start doing that?
5 years ago. 5 years ago. Yeah, about 5 years ago. We had a packing house down in Orlando. We were considered a smaller gift fruit packing house. We ship fruit all over the country, Canada, Europe. And during the peak of the season, I'd have 30 employees running around, 3 fork trucks running everywhere, semi-loads of fruit coming in. And then we always worried about citrus canker. That was the bad one. And they were burning groves, burning trees, tearing groves, people's personal homeowners' trees out of their yard. And when all of us, the whole industry, heard about citrus greening, we all went, "Ay, ay, ay, it's just something else for us to have to worry about, you know, amongst med flies and canker and everything else." Well, citrus greening was the big hammer. It was the big hammer. And it's a nutritional deficiency. It is very more complicated than that. But basically, the tree can't take up nutrients, and it just slowly dies over a period of time. So, yeah, most of my friends have supplemented.
And you said at peak back then, you would have about 30 employees. How many employees would you say you have now during peak season?
7 to 8. You know, we always were a homespun business. That's how I was raised. That's how I was brought up. And so when customers call our store, they want to talk to Ed or Ted. Ted is my brother. We run it together. They don't want to talk to somebody a secretary on the phone. They want to talk to the boys. And that's the way we were in Orlando also. I mean, you know, we meted, we greet, went out, shook people's hands. Same thing we do here. I would say the great majority of our customers, unless they're new here, we know them by name, you know, and that's the way we do business. And that's the way a lot of the people in the old citrus farmers, for the great majority of them, are old time Florida, long before Disney, long before. You know, I can remember when Cypress Gardens was the big attraction. There was no Disney. There was no this, that, or the other, you know. Times change.
That's a fact. Okay, Ed, that is actually all the questions I had for you. Is there anything else you wanted to mention before we go about, you know, just where the citrus industry is right now, like the state of it right now in Florida?
There's definitely some optimism. There's definitely some optimism in the younger group. Like I said, you know, I'm older. You know, I'm almost time to be put to bed, but not really. But the younger, there are younger people that are willing to run that time frame out and try and we'll get to this. And I didn't really mention a lot. The state of Florida is spending a tremendous amount of money and resources to find a cure for greening, and it's not just in Florida. They found it in every citrus producing state in the United States. It's in California. It's not at the level, not even close to the level that we have in Florida. But Texas, California, Louisiana, Arizona, they all got greening to some extent or the other. A lot of those other states learned lessons from Florida and jumped on it hard and jumped on it quick. And we did also in Florida. But all those scientists with the USDA, which is the big umbrella, and then Florida Department of Agriculture, those scientists are doing a great job trying to, and they're hard at it. I mean, they work hard to try and find a cure. And if there is a cure, they'll find cheap dirt somewhere.